The Delmore Institute, a psychiatric rehabilitation centre on the outskirts of Dynas Powys, had once been the country estate of landed gentry. Built in the 1760s, it was a hugely impressive building. Jack paid off the taxi driver and ascended a flight of wide stone steps to the front entrance. If you had to go mad, there were worse places to do it, he reflected as he rang the doorbell. 5 minutes later, he was reclining in a leather armchair, facing the Institute's superintendent across her highly polished desk. Dr. Jacqueline Reynolds was a handsome, immaculately coiffured woman in her 50s, whose brisk but not unfriendly demeanour gave the impression of precision and efficiency. Jack had no reason to suspect her of anything underhand, but beneath his deceptively easy manner, he was on his guard, just in case. Yes, Dr. Reynolds said, examining the notepaper which Jack had produced. This is from one of our notepads. Jack indicated the photograph of Ross Chapman, which he had also placed before Dr. Reynolds. But you say this man has never been here? Not to my knowledge, she replied smoothly. I recognise him from the television, of course, but I've never seen him on the premises. However, I don't oversee the arrival of every visitor. You are, of course, free to examine any records you feel may aid your investigation, Captain Harkness. Thanks, said Jack. You're very accommodating. He was shown into an empty office and provided with the passwords that would allow him access to the Institute's computer system. Finding nothing in the visitor log, he turned his attention to the patient records, searching for something that might suggest that an inmate at the Institute had had contact with Ross Chapman. It took him almost an hour, but at last he found it. A 77-year-old patient called Henry Bavistock, a retired railway worker, had been admitted to the Institute a month ago, suffering from chronic paranoid delusions. Bavistock had complained initially of suffering from bad dreams and then of having a demon inside his head, which frequently whispered to him, relaying its instructions. When asked what these instructions were, Bavistock had replied, "They don't make sense. They're just dates and times and places." Since being admitted to the Institute, he had claimed that a man sometimes visited his room at night, a man who kept appearing and disappearing, and to whom Bavistock had been ordered to relay the demon's words. Jack returned to the superintendent's office, waving a printout of the old man's records. "I need to see this guy," he said. Dr. Reynolds took the printout from him. "Mr. Bavistock? Why?" "Ross Chapman is getting information about crimes before they happen. That's why he's always in the right place at the right time." He took a deep breath. "I think this man is giving him that information." Dr. Reynolds regarded him coolly. "You realise what you're saying?" "Oh, yeah," said Jack, "and I know how crazy it sounds, but is it any crazier than a man who can run 80 miles an hour and is impervious to bullets?"